Dear friends, if we went out today and conducted a Good Friday poll, how might people respond to the following two simple questions? First, who was Jesus? This man who died on a Friday 2,000 years ago. And second, why is it called Good Friday? What does that all mean? What about the people many, many years ago who walked right alongside Jesus on those same dusty paths? What did they think about him? During Jesus' final year of his public ministry, people definitely expressed their perceptions and their opinions about who Jesus was. We hear a few of them from John chapter 7. Some thought Jesus was a good man. Others, they believed that he was a deceiver. Some were amazed. They wondered, how did he have such learning without having studied? Some thought he was demon-possessed. Others thought he was worthy of arrest and death. Some considered him to be a prophet. And some actually confessed, Jesus is the Christ. Well, there were others who said, oh no, that can't be, that's impossible. This man Jesus, he's up from north in Galilee. And we know that the scripture teaches that the Messiah, the Christ, had to come from Bethlehem in the south. For many, back then and now, Jesus is nothing more than what folks perceive him to be or what they want him to be. And when people turn Jesus into who they want him to be, he's no longer what they need. Think about that. Don't you think many today still agree? You see, the conclusions that were drawn about Jesus over 2,000 years ago are really no different than conclusions that are drawn today. Many do agree. Jesus seemed to be a good man, like Gandhi or Lincoln or Confucius. There are many of skeptics today who would agree with the notion that Jesus and his followers were deceivers, thinking, for example, that this whole idea of a resurrection, why, that's just a hoax. Tragically, large populations of people still hold that Jesus is worthy of death, as are those who follow him today. Of course, we can see that when you hear about the tragic thousands who are massacred every year in a variety of continents, martyred because of their faith in Jesus. Oh yes, there are those today who agree, including some major religions and cults, that Jesus was a great prophet. For example, the Muslim faith holds that Jesus was God's messenger and that he was really a forerunner to Muhammad. They also teach that Jesus never really was crucified. He never died on the cross. In an article I recently read, a young college student, a Christian, was suspended because he challenged his Muslim professor's views that Jesus never was crucified or died that way. And the view that the professor taught that, frankly, Jesus never died, and his followers never thought he was God. They never thought he was divine. These types of views about Jesus are taught today in our country, in some educational institutions, as educational fact. Yes, Jesus divides. And you know, even I think within the Christian church today, people may think of Jesus primarily as someone on a very limited scale and scope, someone who can really serve my interests when I need him. Suggesting, for example, that Jesus is a wonderful problem solver who's worthy of my time when I really need him, when I have a trouble, when I'm in some kind of tough situation. Or Jesus is a pretty good counselor, gives some pretty good advice. Or thinking that, yeah, he's mainly needed when I'm just sick or have something unexpected come up. You see, when people turn Jesus into who they want him to be, he's no longer what they need the most. A good man, a deceiver, a prophet, demon-possessed, a provider for my earthly needs. Yes, people are divided when they decide who Jesus is based on their own personal perceptions or their own personal opinions. As John wrote in chapter 7, thus the people were divided because of Jesus. But when we dig in, when we explore and look into the Word of God, we see the real Jesus, the only one who provides what we need the most. What is that? What do we really need from God? We know we can't answer that question based on our own perceptions, our own feelings, our own opinions. God's Word alone provides the honest truth of what we each need the most. We need power. We need power to overcome our own sinful weakness. We need courage to withstand the devil's destructive, divisive plan for us. We need confidence to face death and the grave. We need to be rescued from our sin. What do we need? We need forgiveness. And these are the critical needs that our Good Friday Jesus provides. Yes, we need a Savior who lived a perfect life in our place, for us who couldn't do that. Paul writes, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Christ, the many will be made righteous. What do we need? We need a Redeemer who paid the price that we couldn't. We need a Redeemer who endured the punishment that God's justice demanded to free us from Satan's grip and to free us from our own debt of sin. Peter declares, you know, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Remember, to be redeemed is to be bought back. A price had to be paid. To be bought back from your own slavery to sin. He said it wasn't with silver and gold and those types of things, but he said you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The Apostle John assures us that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Jesus, our Redeemer, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. Yes, with John in the Revelation, we can rejoice To Him who loves us and who's freed us from our sins by His blood, be glory and power forever and ever. What do we need? We need a lamb who was slain for us. We need a loving shepherd who cares for us and loves us and gathers us wandering, straying sheep. John writes, "For the lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The Apostle Luke gives us insight into the heart of our good shepherd when he tells us that our Savior, like a shepherd, came to seek and he came to save that which was lost. Our good shepherd promises us his sheep that will never perish. He promises us that no one can snatch us out of his hand. And Isaiah paints this caring picture of our Lord when he writes, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart." From Isaiah 53, the theme chapter of our Lenten series this year, we remember that we are healed by his wounds. And that was absolutely necessary because we know that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We know that each of us has turned to our own way, and yet we trust that the Lord has laid on Him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. What do we need? We need a perfect substitute. We need a Redeemer. We need a Lamb and a Shepherd. We need Jesus the prophet who brought us this good news of salvation. We need Jesus the priest who himself was offered as a sacrifice for our sins and who pleads before God every day for us in heaven. We need Jesus the king who has defeated our enemies of sin and death and Satan, and who earnestly desires to rule in your hearts. Indeed, Jesus provides that which we need the most. Blueberries and blood? Red wine? Chocolate? Have you thrown away your favorite shirt because that stain just remained? You washed it and you rinsed it. You rubbed and you scrubbed. You tried everything you could think of and more. You even tried to ignore it. But it just wouldn't go away. Sadly, sin is the same. It hangs on, and ignoring it doesn't help. Guilt may cling for days and weeks. Guilt may cling for months and years. Yes, maybe for a lifetime. Was it those cold, angry, biting words that you immediately wanted to take back, but it was too late? And especially when you saw the person's face after you said it to them? An image that's been imprinted into your memory? Was it the neglect of not spending more time with your children, raising them? Do you hang on to some guilt of youthful rebellion? Or some decision or action that caused awful, awful agony for yourself and others? What sin clings to you? What sin weighs you down? What sin hurts your heart? What sin causes you to want to run away and cry? no matter how much you try to forget it, you can't. You try to scrub your guilt. You try to rinse away your pain. You try to rub off your regret, and it just won't go. Only God. Only God can make that happen. Only God provides the solution for the law's condemnation, the law's guilt, and the law's punishment. And praise God for the solution that He has given us. Yes, consider today another verse from Isaiah, just an absolute precious gem of a gift. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Only Jesus can provide cleansing for your sin. Your own sin stain removing efforts will never work, ever. The only true cleansing agent is Jesus' Good Friday body that was nailed to the cross, and His Good Friday blood that poured down from that cross. The same body and blood that was given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The same body and blood that you may soon receive. No matter how deep the stain of your sins may set in, Jesus cleanses them. He washes them clean. You are fully forgiven. And the prophet Jeremiah, he assures you in a most wonderful way that the Lord will remember your sins no more. Like fresh snow or clean wool, you're pure. You're cleansed. You're holy. You are perfect in God's sight because God declared it so. All because of Jesus. Dear friends, let Jesus be Jesus exactly as He is. And cling to Him, because He's exactly what you need. Two 2,000 years ago, when things got tough, and as the truths that Jesus taught seemed to grow difficult, people wavered. In fact, John tells us that many of Jesus' disciples turned and they no longer followed Him. He says, Jesus, to His 12 at that point, you don't want to leave too, do you? Do you remember Peter's reply? Lord, You have the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have those words. May that be your answer today on Good Friday. And may it be your answer every day. A good man, a deceiver, a provider of our earthly needs, Jesus divides. Our perfect substitute, our Redeemer, our Shepherd and Lamb, our Prophet, Priest, and King, Jesus provides. Stained by sin, haunted by guilt, forgiven, washed clean, holy, Jesus cleanses. That's who He is. That's why He came. That's why today, Good Friday, is so special. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen.